Hi, I'm Janet.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are
two girls and a bottle of wine. Because men love boobs.
And girls love wine. We're back. It's Monday.
Yay! We were very in sync on our our opening.
We got our Monday rocking.
We do.
I don't know what that means. We have a live audience.
We do.
Yeah, we have Pooh Bear the Cat. Yeah, Podcat. We have Rain the Cat. And then through the window, we have Butterfly the Dog. Pressure's on. So, how was your weekend?
It was good. I feel like I did a lot this weekend, but not like overwhelming amounts.
So, what did you do?
Friday, Joey and I went to dinner.
Where did you go?
We went to Cuba Cuba, which is our favorite restaurant.
And that's a Cuban restaurant?
Yes.
I am so smart.
How'd you guess? And then the rest of the weekend, we kind of did our own thing, which was nice because I kind of feel like we need that once in a while.
Yes.
So, Saturday, I had girls' night. We watched The Great Gatsby. I almost said Catsby because of the cats. And it is 5 hot pink stars out of 5.
Really?
Yes. Because
you came into work today raving about it.
I already own it.
That was quick.
Yeah.
That is a commitment.
It was so good. I can't even, you know, right? Yep. And then yesterday, I did something really
Sunday.
Cool. Yep,
yeah.
Sunday with two of my other girlfriends. We went to this event put out by Westward, which if you don't live in Denver.
Is a magazine.
Yep, with like local events and restaurants and happenings. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they do this every year. It's their dish event. And this is how they rate in their magazine for the next year. This restaurant that's selected will say, you know, Westward's selected number one event.
Okay.
So there was like 40 food tents, and you just go around and you sample food and you get alcohol samples. Like there's some places there that sample alcohol too.
So how much did that cost?
So if you bought your tickets early, it was like $25. And then with services, it was $30. If you bought them later, it was $35. But
nice.
Regardless,
40 restaurants.
It had to be at least 40.
Wow.
And they were not, you know, they were well-known restaurants in, like, the city of Denver. And the nice thing, too, was they weren't just from the city. They were somewhere up in, like, Longmont, Westminster, somewhere Littleton. So they were kind of all over, which was
good.
Nice.
Yeah. And what was your favorite restaurant?
DeFranco's.
I don't think I've been there.
It's in the Golden Triangle.
I don't know what that means.
I didn't either. It's a part of the city, I guess. but it's an Italian restaurant, and they served a meatball on a little hoagie roll.
Oh,
and just, I only ate the meatball alone because it was so good, I didn't even need the bread.
Wow.
And what I found out, which is really cool, is that Wednesdays at DeFranco's, they have what they call date night.
Mm-hmm.
And for $40, you get 2 salads, 2 entrees, 2 cannolis, and wine.
Wow.
Right? That's such a good deal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's called DeFranco's.
Yep.
We got to check that out.
Yeah.
Steve and I, yep. He's getting ready to leave town, but maybe when he gets back in October.
Yeah. I was just like, wow, like, are you serious? You do all of that for $40?
If you're still in the area next year, you should totally remind me of this event.
And yeah.
We should go do it together and then report back.
Absolutely. I found out really last minute on this one, but it was definitely
well
worth
it. I've never heard
of
it, and I've lived here.
Yeah, and they had live music.
For 6 years.
It was really good.
Hmm.
It was a lot of fun, so it was enjoyable.
Now I'm hungry.
Me too.
My weekend, pretty chill. Steve was in town, so we went to a concert on Friday to see Joe Nichols.
Right. You were talking about that. Yes. You're excited about it.
He sings Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off, and it was packed. It was so packed.
And where was it?
At the Grizzly Rose.
Okay.
And then Saturday, we got up and went to brunch with, it's so weird, so random. I have a guy friend from college and a girlfriend who I met recently. I actually went to her housewarming party a few months ago, I believe.
I remember that.
And so I had posted, or I got tagged in a picture that she posted from her housewarming party. And he was like, who is that? And so it's been several months later, but he came to town to meet her, and they hit it off. And
so you're like matchmaker,
I
Janet.
I am.
So have they been talking these whole couple months? Okay.
Yeah. And I talked to her today. She said they hit it off. They're planning his next trip here because he lives in Dodge City, Kansas, and he just took a job in May. So him relocating probably isn't going to happen. But if they're patient. I'm like,
yeah,
that's awesome. And I told him, because I was super nervous. I was like, if this doesn't work out, neither one of you can hate me. because I'm not a matchmaker. I am not going to say that I am.
Right.
But I think they're good for each other.
Nice.
They're
well, that's
social
cool.
Butterflies. So that was Sunday, Saturday brunch. And then yesterday we just kind of chilled around the house, prepared for the Emmys.
Mm.
Yes.
I was like rushing back to get to watch the Emmys.
I was so pumped for the Emmys. But then it came on and the energy level is so low compared to like the CMAs or the MTV Music Awards.
Well, right. Because you're comparing music to TV.
And mentally I had not differentiated, but it was so long. It started at 6 and ended at 9.
I always go into the, like, even like the Oscars and like the, what are the AMAs. Like, I always go into those with lesser expectations because they're TV people.
Right.
So.
They're funny.
They're funny, but there's not as much like crazy, upbeat, you know, performances
even
and stuff
Carrie
like that.
Even Carrie Underwood, she performed a Beatles song, which I thought was very awkward.
I don't understand why they went down that path now.
Well, they, you know, they were talking about, you know, it was shortly after the live competition award, like the Voice one.
Right.
And they're saying, you know, she got her start and the Beatles kind of, you know,
they got
pulled
their
the country
start.
Out of the JFK slump after JFK died.
Right.
And then they just threw those two ideas together and said, here, Carrie Underwood, sing a Beatles song.
Yeah. It was, I'll be honest with you. I kind of like the speeches bore me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would flip, like I would kind of like the ones I wanted to pay attention to, I'd pay attention to, but I really just watched it for one reason and one reason only.
What's that?
The memoriam for James Gandolfini.
Nice. And were you impressed with that?
I was in tears.
Aw. All right. So pick it up from aw. You were sad.
Okay.
And go.
Yeah. I felt like it was the most moving of all of them. I mean, they were, don't get me wrong, all of the memoriams were sad, but Edie Falco was actually in tears when she was doing, like, you know.
And I think even Jane Lynch, she did the one for the Glee guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was very controversial that they even did that.
Yeah.
But the fact that she mentioned drug abuse and how it was very sad, I think that kind of made it kind of balance out where it's not as controversial.
Right.
Well, I found an article for the 5 funniest quips from Neil Patrick Harris's Emmy monologue, and he actually hosted the show.
I loved him as the host.
I love him.
He should host everything.
Do you watch How I Met Your Mother?
I did and don't. Like, I do and don't. Like, I don't.
It's the final season. They're going to find out who the mother is.
We all know who the mother is.
It's a new girl.
Oh.
Yeah. It premieres, I think, tonight.
Yeah, that's what my friend said.
You meet her. Yeah.
I haven't consistently followed it through all the years. I watch it when they're like on and I'm not watching anything else. But Dancing with the Stars is on tonight.
You got to get your DVR rocking and rolling.
I need to get a DVR.
Oh,
period.
Crap. So it's a decision that every Emmy host has to make for him or herself. How low do you go with the blows toward your fellow entertainers in the audience? Well, Neil Patrick Harris got right into it during his monologue and he even brought along some former hosts to help him do it. In case you missed it, here's a recap of the monologue's best zingers. You want to do number one?
Sure. Stick me with that one. Number one, or as Paula Deen now has to call it, orange is the new African-American. Not missing out an opportunity to poke fun at the beleaguered chef, Harris turned a line about this year's colorful spate of television into a dig at the culinary queen.
I verbally said, oh my gosh, did he just do that? Number two, I wasn't asked back. Because I'm a woman. When the award show's previous hosts stormed the stage to warn Harris about the dangers of not being asked back to MC, Glee's leading lady slyly pointed out that she was the only woman among them. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah. Number three, I'm not going to do anything like that. That is far too gay. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? Harris did just that when he mocked Fallon's suggestion he perform a dance routine like he has in previous stints as host of the Tony Awards.
I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, take your pants off, twerk it. Veterans of the award show skit, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, nailed it once more when they sat in the audience and heckled Harris. I thought that was hilarious.
That was hysterical, yeah. And I think they're hosting the...
something.
Golden Globes. They're hosting the Golden Globes again. They host them. They've hosted them a couple of years.
Yeah.
And the last one, it might be degrading, but we would be degrateful. Content as he may be to stay clothed, even Harris found it difficult to argue with the comedians when Poehler whipped out a great pun.
Yeah. I was expecting him to start twerking.
Were you?
I totally was.
I don't think he knows how.
Yeah, he's... I don't know what's going on. I think the dog found the cat.
Through the window.
And you found a great article about Amy Poehler and John Hamm, who were both losers at the Emmys.
They were. And so they hosted the loser's party. So it was a long show, and there were 26 categories. 26.
That's why it was so dang long.
Yep. So obviously the losers outnumber the winners 4-1 because there's like 5 in every category. So it's a lot of loss. So... John Hamm and Amy Poehler have collectively been passed over 20 times. So they, instead of feeling sorry for themselves, they did this. They called it, it's their No Trophies Allowed Losers Lounge Emmy After Party. And what they did to make it fair, any nominee who did not win an award was admitted to the party for free, while other stars who did nab a statue were required to make at least a $1,000 donation to Worldwide Orphans Foundation.
And I think that's really awesome.
And if they did that, they got an engraved bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label to commemorate their win and, you know, and their contribution. And so they ended up raising $20,000 for Worldwide Orphans Foundation, which is a foundation that helps to transform the lives of orphaned children.
That is great. That is just a great idea.
That's when I read that, I was like, wow, that's genius.
Those are smart women right there. Mm-hmm. So that was the Emmys. We're not going to go through the list of winners because there were 26 categories.
And it was long.
It was very long. Very long. Yes. Jim Parsons won for Big Bang Theory, and I liked that.
I saw that speech. he's like Sheldon in real life.
He really is.
Like, I don't think he gets into character. I'm pretty sure that's just him.
And Michael Douglas looked great after battling cancer.
He did.
He referenced his wife, even though they're separated right now.
Yes.
And I was kind of like, oh. And then he even referenced his son, who's in prison right now for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a lot of controversy around him.
I liked that he gave kudos to Matt Damon.
Yes.
When he won for
that. Did you watch that movie?
No.
Steve and I did, and it was... very interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well done.
Mm-hmm. And then Eric Clapton, or why do I keep saying
Elton
Eric Clapton?
John?
Elton John sang the song for...
Neil Diamond. No, not Neil Diamond.
For Liberace. Yes.
Wow. We need to recenter.
We do. We're just throwing names out there.
Next topic. We're going to talk about engagements and weddings because we're chicks and we talk about that stuff and think about that stuff a lot.
And the holiday season's coming soon.
Right. So first of all, engagements. Too short, too long, and just right. So this is like the Three Little Bears.
Okay.
So Billy Crystal tells a tearful Meg Ryan at the end of When Harry Met Sally, when you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as quickly as possible. But remake the movie with Urban 20-something circa 2013. It's as soon as I can finish my master's or get that promotion or afford a bigger apartment or move to Florida and take another job. And many couples
are... throwing out the story of my life there?
Many couples are stretching out their engagements for as long as their friends and family will let them, which... one ultimately bodes better for engaged. Young's a very long engagement or a shotgun wedding. So we're going to go through the differences and there we go. You want to hit with the long engagement?
Sure. So this person, are we going through like the stories?
Okay. Yeah, these are examples.
So these were two people. They were both anti-marriage when they first met. But after dating for 4.5 years and getting a legal domestic partnership, they decided it was a good way to go.
And it's a man and a woman.
It is a man and a woman.
Dan and Emma.
Mm-hmm. They haven't set a date yet, but it'll be at least 2 years from now. So her priority was education over wedding planning for both of them. They have he has a PhD and she has a master's degree. And he said that they both wanted to be significantly closer to finishing their dissertation by the time of the wedding. And having prospective employment is a good thing.
Because money is one of the biggest fights.
Sure. And they're also set on one particular venue, which rarely rents out for events. So they did say that their more traditional family members on both sides are kind of perplexed about the wait time. But a New York City therapist and relationship expert is on their side, saying it's good for couples to know each other for at least a year or two before, at least a year to 2 years before they get married. This gives you plenty of time to get to know each other to secure the foundation and the friendship. But in all fairness, they have been dating for 4.5 years. They're just not getting married for 2 more years.
Right.
And there's also social benefits to a long engagement as well. It feels a bit like having it both ways, avoiding the stereotypes that come with being single and the ones that come with being married. So this brings us to the elephant in the room among couples putting off marriage, the dreaded FOMO. Are one or both members of the couples dallying.
Dallying.
Because they're still checking out other options in the peripherals. A woman who's the founder and CEO of Dating with Dignity said, if a couple puts off marriage and is engaged for a very long time, they have to look at the motivation behind having a long engagement. Meaning, is it because you're really still shopping around?
But they've already said it's their education. And that makes right. sense.
Right. But it did just happen because it came out that this week that Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth were officially done.
They're done.
And they had a year and a half long engagement.
Interesting. So that takes us to the next length of engagement, and that would be the median.
Yep.
So the median length. So what is the average length of an engagement? By celebrity wedding planner Sean something or other definition, it's 10 months. The ideal length, in his opinion, to plan their dream ceremony without over-planning and obsessing. Michelle and Daniel, who dated on and off for 10 years, two adult years, clarifies Michelle. So it's kind of like your situation. Before sorta. Getting engaged, the two are now married, and she maintains that their wait time, 11 months, was the perfect length. They were able to plan their ideal wedding with enough time to save some money, seeking out the most cost-efficient options. Any longer, and I would have gotten really impatient. Any shorter, I might have felt rushed and stressed. For me, about 10 to 12 months of engagement is the sage choice. She also recalls more than a few friends who had waited longer and then suffered post-nuptial wedding withdrawal. After the big day came and went, they'd had so much time to obsess over it and plan it that once it happened, it was kind of like, yeah, that's it. I could see that happening.
So I was really, I don't know if you were, but I was shocked when they said that the average is 10 to 12 months.
It's usually about a year.
I always thought that you do like a year and a half to 2 years. So when they said that 2 years was long, I was like, really?
Yeah. Don't want to obsess over it.
Huh. That makes sense.
Now it takes us to the short engagement, which I have a lot of friends that are doing that recently.
So Jessica and Kale, both in their late 20s, dated for 4 months before getting engaged.
Damn. 4 months.
4 months. When you know, right?
All right.
Yeah. How do you think I feel?
How does he like his eggs? That's what I want to know.
Their wedding date is set for next month.
That's cray cray.
So most of her family's supportive. She says, they've known me long enough and seen me date a bunch of guys I felt meh about to know my feelings are true and real and enduring. However, there are naysayers among them. One of them happens to be her sister. I've sensed from a couple of people that they think Kale and I are moving too fast in the way they've responded to our engagement. Several people have made comments to me about how we can always get a divorce if it doesn't work out.
Ouch.
That's extremely rude to say to someone who just got engaged.
True that.
So she said that, so this woman who also commented on, she was the founder and CEO of Dating with Dignity, says that short-term compatibility is easy to find, but the test of a successful relationship is how do you as a couple get back to compatibility? As both of you mature as people after the marriage, it's tough for young Jessica and Kale to predict if they'll make it through the growing pains. But if a couple is over 40 and have a clear idea of what they want, a short engagement might work. Rachel Sussman was more blunt about it and said, a couple who meets and gets engaged within 90 days and then gets married after another 90 days, I'm not so sure about their success rate. Now, Sean Rabideau is a little bit more non-judgmental about the timeline. He said he's excited by the hands-on approach that grooms with brief engagements take to the planning. The biggest trend I see is that during shorter engagements, more and more grooms are getting involved in the wedding planning process.
I guess that is true.
Well, I guess you have to, because there's only so many hours in a day.
This is going to happen faster, so let's get this over with.
But I think also if you're doing it so quickly, there's only so much the woman can do.
Right. Speaking of marriage, Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live. He just married his girlfriend of 5 years this last weekend. They got engaged in February. So that's like 9-10 month engagement. They're both 31.
I don't know if I could do it that quickly.
But you got to think he's probably got the big bucks.
Sure. So he's going to hire someone to do it for him.
She's a singer-songwriter. Neither one of them are stuck in a cubicle all day like us.
Yeah.
So and they have are more a little bit older. Time. They're 31. What are you saying?
He said, no, he's 35.
But she's 31.
Oh, right. They're but I'm not saying, so yeah.
Older.
No. But I'm saying in comparison.
Are you calling me
old? No, when we were talking about the short ones, the short marriage, they were only in their 20s.
Right. So congratulations to them. And then that brings us to another wedding topic because, I don't know, are we sensing something? Like, is something going to happen with Joey? I don't know.
Don't get me
started. We found
an
article about the ideal age for women to get married is.
Yeah, so is there a golden number? I don't know.
Let's briefly go over, first of all, marrying at the age of 22 to 25.
Should I cover that one?
Yeah.
I'm not in that age group anymore.
I know.
All right. So when I first, just in all fairness, when I first opened this article, I thought they were stating that was the ideal age. And I'm like, crap, I already passed by it.
I missed it.
All right. So these marrying at age 22 to 5.
Yeah. Yep.
So the pros is that you're both young. So you can kind of change and grow together. You'll also be young parents. So the nice thing about that is that when the kids are off to college, you'll only be in you'll still be in your 40s. So you kind of have an opportunity to still do stuff with your life and embark on new adventures. Now, the cons are that when you're under 25, you might not really know yourself very well. Especially like what you want, what you even want to do with your life, what you believe in. And people's values change quite a bit after their early 20s. And the 50% divorce rate that's so often cited in America specifically applies to people who marry when they're less than 20 years old. For those in the 20 to 23 range, it jumps down to 34%.
That's good.
Yep. And then it continues to decline as you age. So
that's why I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have control in that.
So, but the other thing said was that the other con is if you do choose to be a stay-at-home mom, you might find yourself lost when the kids eventually do leave home. Because one woman said she's only 42 and she doesn't know what to do with herself now.
Right. That's emptiness syndrome.
Yep.
The next age range for the ideal age for women is age 25 to 30, mm-hmm. which is your age bracket. So the pros are you're more likely to end up with someone who shares similar values as your own now that you're more self-aware. You also have had enough time to party it up with your other single friends, travel, and endure long hours at work before you settle down like an old married couple. The cons? Economically, a woman's earning power is at its highest if she marries at the age of 30 or later, according to Not Yet, the benefits and costs of delaying marriage in America. Marrying after your 30th birthday also adds an extra $18,000 to a woman's earning power. One risk to consider is if you take a break to focus on child rearing now, it could take a serious toll on your career.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. That was one of the big reasons why I decided not to pursue the medical field.
Because you'd be in school still.
Because right when I would be getting done and actually getting into the height of my career, I'd be 30.
Right.
After you finish school and residency and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of one of those decisions where it's like, do I want to have kids or would I want to do this?
Right.
All right. So the next age group.
Is my age group.
Yep. Yes. Marrying at age 30 to 35. So 30s are the new 20s.
Hey, you said it. Say it slower. 30 is the new 20.
30 is the new 20.
I need that t-shirt.
All right. So the pros. Not only do you know who you are and what you want out of life, you also have a good sense of what you need in a romantic partner. So you're likely to pick someone who's going to be a good life partner for you over the long term and someone that's going to have a solid career in place to boot.
Right.
A woman over 30 is only 8% likely to get divorced, according to the marriage site The Knot. pretty good odds compared to 20% for those who marry at age 27 to 29.
Right.
Maybe I'll just hold off four more years.
Hold off.
just for that low percentage.
You know how I told you I just hung out with someone I knew from college, right? And he gave me the lowdown because I don't keep track of all the people that are getting divorces from my college class.
See, and we're not at that point yet. Like, everybody from my high school class is now getting married.
See,
so I'll let you know in 4 years.
My high school friends did that, and then they got divorced. And now my college friends who got married right after college, you know, 22, 23, now many of them are getting a divorce.
And see, my high school friends are just at the point, too, where they're kind of finishing up. Not finishing up college, but they're at a good point in their career now, and they're all getting married, and then there's me.
You're happily happy.
Just kidding.
All right.
So the cons to the 30 to 35 group is that, contrary to popular wisdom, a woman's fertility only begins to dip slightly when she's 28. Between ages 30 to 34, a woman's infertility issues are almost doubled from 8 to 15%. But the good news is that you still have some time to deal with it if you find yourself struggling to conceive. A woman's chance of getting pregnant only decreases from 63 to 52%. So if you're still under 35, it might take you a little bit longer to start a family, but it's still probably going to happen. So that's kind of the con there.
There you go.
Yeah.
The next age group for the ideal age for women to get married is 35 to 40, which, if things keep going the way they're going, that'll probably be my target. Some of us ladies are what they call late bloomers.
That's okay. Me.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
So the pros at this age group is, at this age, a first marriage will also probably be your only marriage for life. And get this, when you've waited so long to walk down the aisle already, you can have pretty much any kind of wedding you want, anywhere you want. Your parents will be so happy that you finally found the one. They probably won't even care how much it costs. Well, and then the cons to the 35 to 40 is, trouble conceiving can be a serious issue by now, as the likelihood of infertility rises from 15 to 32%. At this age, you've only got a 33% chance to get pregnant. So if you're like me and kids aren't in the picture, it's perfect.
All right. And the last category is marrying at 40 plus.
So anything beyond 40.
Yep. So at midlife, you're definitely an independent woman. And the pros are that your dating options may seem slimmer after 40, but you've almost certainly gotten any love for chasing after bad boys out of your system by now.
Hopefully.
I would hope so. Not only that, you've also likely had your fill of partying, dating, traveling, clawing your way up the career ladder, and made peace with your parents and siblings. So when you do finally settle down, you'll have no regrets or thoughts about missing out on some unexplored part of your life.
You know who comes to mind? Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes.
From Sex and the City.
Why are you
having to think so long?
Because I almost thought that I could deal with that. I could deal with that lifestyle.
No, you want kids.
Yeah, I think I may cut out to be a mom. But then there are days where I wake up and my dog is like already in my face and I'm like,
it's different.
Dear Lord, no.
You've been talking about having kids ever since I met you, which is only a year and a half. But still.
That's a long time.
It is. It's all a right consistency.
So the cons for
if
this,
you still want children.
If you still want to have children,
cray-cray.
You're probably going to need professional help. But you're financially and emotionally secure enough to handle those challenges that are going to come with being a later in life parent.
Right.
So we didn't touch on this, but the average age in the U.S. for a man to marry is 29, and for a woman, it's approximately 27. So I've only got a couple more months to go.
You got to send that memo to Joey.
I've never really been one of the ones that follows the average statistics, so I'm probably screwed.
And you're happily happy.
I am.
We're not, and so am I. Like, definitely not looking to walk down the aisle. But I did find my perfect engagement ring this last week.
I've had that.
Hot pink gold with black diamonds. Freaking beautiful.
I like the vintage look.
I know.
Joey has it saved in his eel.
So we're at the 30-minute mark, but we have to fit this in. Grey's Anatomy is premiering this week.
And we're so excited.
So freaking excited. Sad that it's Sandra Oh's
last
season.
It's a 2-hour season premiere.
Steve's going to be out of town. I got nothing but time.
Joey's going to have to forfeit the remote.
So one of the greatest things that I've pulled from Grey's Anatomy, and Steve might not consider it to be great, but it's the whole idea of my person.
Yes.
Grey and
Yang.
Yang, thank you. Call each other their person. Yeah. Which is great. And if I had a friend that was like that,
that would be my person.
Yeah. But I'm okay with Steve being my person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he is my best friend. And, yeah, it just works out that way. So I found this article of what it's like to have met your person, as told by Grey's Anatomy.
I love it.
Everyone awed when Grey's Anatomy created the concept of the person. I remember my heart freaking, like, crying.
I need that. I'm a person.
And you awed extra loud because you know exactly what it's like. So, we're going to go through the list.
Yep.
Of your person concept.
So, number one, because you and your best friend are always on the same team.
And I can say that's 90, 85% of the time with mm-hmm. Steve. How about you and Joey? Is he your person?
He's my person.
You had to think about that.
Till I want to kill him. Then he's my person.
Number two, even if it means you have to do things you don't want to do, like working out or like going to movie screenings all the time.
I think he's my person. I don't know that I'm his person.
Really?
No, because he doesn't do things he doesn't want to do.
Right. That's because he's young.
Even if you're incredibly busy, you'll make time to check in with each other.
Definitely. Like, I can be crazy busy at work, and I will stop and be like, hey, babe, love you.
Mm.
Number four, even if it means you have to sit with them while they work.
I've done that.
I'm not good at it. I'm very impatient.
Me too.
But I'll do it.
Yeah. They'll get drunk and dance with you and no one else will.
You guys have dance parties.
We do have That's dance perfect. Parties. So that is so us.
Number six, and lay on the ground with you when you just can't handle your day.
I don't know about that one.
I think it's because it's Steve. Like, yeah. If it was a chick, maybe, but yeah.
They'll listen to you complain about your love life.
Number eight, and we'll have your back.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine.
They'll listen to you at your craziest moments.
Number 10, and tell you what you need to hear. Even if what you need to hear is to shut up.
Mm-hmm. You act like a married couple.
You're always together, even when people don't think it's appropriate.
You talk about growing old together.
You understand each other's logic, even if it makes zero sense.
Mm-hmm. Because you have your own language.
Sometimes you don't even need to say anything.
You can just make a face and they can read it word for word.
You always know you can always share secrets because they'll always keep them.
On the worst days, they'll hold you.
You know that family doesn't have to be blood related.
And you never have to worry about losing them.
Because they'll always be your person.
Mm-hmm. And we should post this because
yes.
What they didn't get to see is all of the cute pictures from yes. Grey's that went along with it.
Yes, I'll definitely post it yes. on our Facebook. So thanks so much for watching and share us with your friends. We are on Podbean. We're on
iTunes.
Spreaker. Yes, we're everywhere. Just Google Two Girls and a Bottle of Wine. Find us on Facebook. Friend request me. I'm down with that. If you're not already my friend.
Sounds good.
Joey's mom is not my friend, and I've been tempted to request her just because she likes all of our stuff on Facebook.
Okay.
Is that odd?
No.
Joey's mom, friend request me.
You're friends
me.
With my dad. How would that be odd?
Joey's mom, friend request me if you don't think it's odd. I won't feel rejected if you don't. All right, happy week, and we'll see you guys next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.